up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and that, of course, was Chuck Berry working his fingers down to the bone. That may have been the case in his day, but among today's college students, not so much. A new study finds that the amount of time college students spend studying has plummeted from a generation ago, from an average of 24 hours a week in 1961 down to just 14 hours a week now. And if that still feels like a lot, college students, ask yourself honestly, how much time are you spending on Facebook, or texting, or working, or volunteering, or doing just about anything and everything other than studying? And yet, GPAs keep going up. So what's really going on here? Has studying taken a backseat to everything? In an era of all-important teacher evaluations, are professors just afraid of giving students a lot of work? Or is the fundamental meaning and mission of a college education changing? If so, is that such a bad thing? College students, professors, anybody at a university, or anyone who's cracked open a book for that matter, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also comment online at wbur.org/Boston or send us a tweet. We're at Radio Boston. Well, joining us now is Mindy Marks. She's one of the co-authors of the new study on studying. It's soon to be published in the Review of Economics and Statistics. Mindy Marks is also a professor of economics at the University of California, Riverside. Mindy Marks, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, welcome.
Also with us today is Keith O'Brien. It was his recent story in the Boston Globe that turned us on to this issue. Keith O'Brien, welcome to you.
Thanks, Meghna. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. And the voice of youth today comes from our own Hugh Roberts. He is a Radio Boston hardworking intern and also a 2009 graduate from American University. Hugh, great to have you here in the studio.
Great to be here. Thanks, Meghna.
Well, Mindy Marks, let me just start with you. You did this study to find out how much college students are studying. So if you could just tell us, what's the big change here in a generation?
Well, so the most reliable sort of large nationally representative data point that we can find is from 1961. And when we look back then, it looks like the average full-time student at a four-year university put in about 40 hours a week between class time and time spent outside of class on academics. And if we look at the same figure for today's students, and this comes from we have a lot more surveys that give information about the modern generation, so we find that students put in somewhere between 24 and 26 hours a week, depending on the data set we look at.
Okay, so there has been a big drop. Keith O'Brien, when you first caught wind of this study, were you, and you talked to other people out there in higher education, did they seem to think that this was true, that indeed there is evidence that students are studying less?
One professor described it to me, Meghna, as the dirty little secret today at colleges and universities. Let's start with the basics. There's a long-held standard that universities have clung to for decades, often in official documents, where they said that for every hour a student spends in the classroom, they're expected to be studying 2 hours outside the classroom. Mm-hmm. So if you're studying, if you have a 15-hour class load, like many students do, the expectation would be, and not just the expectation, but the standard would be that you'd be studying 30 hours a week. So even if you want to pick nits with this research, which some skeptics do, you can't get around the fact that students aren't coming close to meeting the standards that the universities are setting for them.
So, Mindy Marks, is this at any particular type of university, or were your findings across the board?
Yeah, no, we find this everywhere. We look at liberal arts schools, at PhD granting institutions. So, and our main finding compares the exact same schools. In fact, so we went school by school in our sample, and we didn't find a single case where there wasn't a decline in study time.
Mm-hmm. And I also wonder, does it matter what the student's major was? Because, I'll admit, my undergraduate degree was in engineering, and it just, frankly, took 20 hours a week per class to do those problem sets. So is it just that maybe some types of majors require more intense book work than maybe others?
No, it's certainly true that some types of majors do, and engineering is a good case, do require more time than than other majors. But in order to generate sort of the overall declines in study times, you would have to see sort of massive shifts of students from the time-intensive majors to the less time-intensive majors, mm-hmm. and the data doesn't bear that out. So while it is true that some students in some majors do on average put in more time than students in other majors, even holding major constants and looking at, you know, engineering majors in 1961 and engineering majors today, today's engineering majors study less than they did back in the day.
It's breaking my heart, given how many hours
that
I spent.
Now you can, you know, tell your nieces and nephews, you know, how hard you had it back when you went to school.
It wasn't even that long ago.
It'll still be true.
Keith O'Brien, you know, you raised in your piece seems to be the central question here, and that is, you said earlier that students were expected to study, that learning was expected to happen outside the classroom. That was the central bargain of a university education. So does this study find that basically that bargain is no longer true or doesn't hold any water?
Well, that's one of the great questions, is what is the reason for this decline? And the researchers, Mindy Marks and her colleague, Philip Babcock, they looked at that and they found that, you know, the internet is not the issue here. The advent of new technology is not the issue here. The changing demographics of college campuses, not the issue here. Jobs or volunteering, not the issue. So what is it? One theory circulates around the professor-student relationship. Back in the day, so to speak, professors were expected to challenge their students. But in the 1960s, there began to be a push for course evaluations. These are commonplace these days. We've all done them if we've gone to school in the last 20 years. But back then, there was actually a noble idea. Professors in the 60s could basically do whatever they wanted in class, and there was no recourse. So they could have extremely boring lectures, onerous workloads. No one would ever know about it. So course evaluations came to be. These days, though, a lot of professors are worried about what students are going to say in their course evaluation, especially professors who are still seeking tenure, still mm-hmm. looking for that job. So when it comes time to decide, look, how hard am I going to be in this class? How much work am I going to assign? The theory is that some professors are saying, look, I'm going to make this class pretty easy for you. I'd like you to make it pretty easy for me. And it's this sort of mutual non-aggression pact where professors aren't going to assign students a lot of work, and in exchange, they're expecting glowing course evaluations.
Well, Keith O'Brien, Mindy Marks, stand by. I'm going to turn quickly. We've got a lot of callers who want to join us. You can, if you'd like. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joe's calling from Hyde Park. Welcome to Radio Boston, Joe.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
So what's your thought today?
My thought today is that, unfortunately, I think we have a distracted generation. We have kids that are raised on internet, computers, texting, MySpace. And another thing is I don't think people are held to a standard, or children are held to a standard. Mm-hmm. We have t-ball games where there's no score. Teachers are afraid to fail for their ratings. Their kids are coddled, I think.
Joe, you bring up good points, which actually I would like to turn to our voice of youth here, who's in our studio. Let's talk to one of that so-called distracted generation, Hugh Roberts. He's our Radio Boston intern and the 2009 American University graduate. So you just graduated mm-hmm. last year. Congratulations, Hugh.
Thank you.
Were you distracted all the time? Were you on Facebook 24/7? Is that what was going on?
I could see where Joe's coming from the distracted generation, that a lot of people are on Facebook. We are the Facebook generation. We do need constant reminders and up-to-date feeds about what's going on in everyone else's life. But I have to disagree with Keith that the pressure of the work industry is a burden to a lot of students. That I found myself my junior year of college not having an internship, being behind everyone. And my guidance counselor was appalled that I had no work experience yet, and I was only 19 years old.
So even your guidance counselor, a university official, was saying what you should be doing is focusing on getting an internship as a priority.
Yeah, so I went and went off the deep end with that, and I went and got an internship, which turned into a part-time job, and I was balancing full-time school with 20 hours a week working and 30 hours a week interning, and I didn't get to study. I didn't get to do the 1 hour of class to 2 hours of studying, like I believe Professor Bach said.
So you were so busy, you weren't even able to do an hour a day or even a couple hours a week.
By the end of my senior year, but my freshman year, I had to teach myself how to take notes and how to write essays, and so I made that professor student bond that he was talking about earlier, or Mindy Marks was talking about earlier.
Okay, Hugh, you raised some really good points about like what exactly a college education means today or what you should be trying to get out of it. We'll pick that up after a break. We are talking about students in college just not studying anymore. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.
The guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell. The cook in the lunchroom's ready to sell. You're lucky if you can find a seat. You're fortunate if you have time to eat. Back in the classroom, open your books. Gee, but the teacher don't know how mean she looks. Soon as 3 o'clock rolls around, you finally lay your burden down.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about college students and how much they're, well, not studying anymore. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And I make that assertion based on a new study that's out by Professor Mindy Marks. She's a professor of economics at the University of California, Riverside. And she and her co-author found that college students are studying 10 to 15 hours less now a week than they used to back in the 1960s. We're also joined by Keith O'Brien. He's a freelance journalist and former reporter for the Boston Globe. It was his piece in the Boston Globe that alerted us to this. And we've got our own Hugh Roberts here. He is a Radio Boston intern and a 2009 graduate of American University. We're also joined now by Derek Bach. He was president of Harvard University from 1971 to 1999. And he's also author of Our Underachieving Colleges, a candid look at how much students learn and why they should be learning more. Derek Bach, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's a true pleasure to have you. Let me just put the question straightforward to you. Is the problem that universities don't expect much of students anymore and students are then living down to these lowered expectations?
Well, that's a big question. I think there's no question that students are studying less. I think something happened in the 1960s in the relationship between students and faculty that shifted influence much more to the students, and you began getting more pass-fail courses, you began getting student evaluations. You also, one thing that hasn't been mentioned, you began employing much larger numbers of adjunct faculty who didn't have tenure, whose continued employment rested very much on whether they got good student ratings the year before. Which again created a greater desire to kind of not antagonize students. So I think there has been a significant erosion, yes.
Does that mean that in your mind the erosion has led to an erosion in the quality of an education that students walk out the door with at the end of their 4 years?
I don't see how you can reach any other conclusion. I mean, one of the consistent findings in the research about higher education is that how much students develop and learn in college is very much related to how much of an effort they put into it. So if they're studying less, there's got to be a price to be paid in terms of amount that they learn.
Derek Bach, let me ask you, you have been a longtime observer and obviously a very key player in higher education in the United States. Is it also possibly that the nature of what a good education should be is changing, that basically the life of the mind that used to define a university education is no longer what students really need, and universities know that, so they are, as Hugh told us, pointing them to spending more time doing more practical things?
No, I would disagree with that pretty thoroughly. I think, if anything, over the last 40 years, the kind of expectations and the stated goals of undergraduate education have become more and more demanding as developments in society create new needs. So now you're getting a lot of talk you didn't have before about the need to turn out people who can function well in a global society, students who are more understanding of differences because society is getting diverse, so you get a lot of compulsory courses in kind of not just race relations, gender relations, sexual orientation relations. A lot of schools require a course in that.
Mm-hmm.
There's much more emphasis on training people for a job, so vocational majors have multiplied, and it goes on and on. Quantitative skills, particularly with the rise of the computer, has become more important. So if anything, the expectations that faculty have steadily grown throughout this period.
Mm-hmm.
It's only the studying that seems to have declined.
Derek Bach, if you stand by for just a moment, also
sure.
Keith O'Brien and Mindy Marks and Hugh as well. We have got an absolute mountain of callers who want to join us, so let's roll through as many of them as we can. Grace is calling from Dorchester. Welcome to Radio Boston, Grace.
Hi, Meghna. Thank you.
You're very welcome. What's your thought?
Well, I've been an adjunct faculty now for over 20 years, and I've been at one Midwestern institution and two here in the greater Boston area. And I am consistently dismayed by the requirement of the schools to encourage me to give grades to people that don't deserve B's and A's when they should have gotten a C or C minus.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what I'm seeing is that it's an issue of economics. That's my belief. That's part of it, in terms of bodies in the seats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's distressing to me as a faculty person who cares about the work that I do and cares about what the students are learning to be told they'll pass the person, you know, even if their work was marginal.
Grace, thank you so much for your call. Grade inflation there, obviously a big issue which we've yet to touch, and we will in a moment. G's calling from Somerville. Welcome to Radio Boston, G.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going great. What's your thought?
I just wanted to address a point where I think that education has gotten a lot more efficient just from my experience in engineering. I graduated last year, and basically we were taught much more how to learn than exactly what to learn. We were pointed to Google, and we were told, you know, here are all the formulas you're going to need. In material science, we had an open Google exam where we were told that the important thing was that we needed to define our answers based on all the information we found, but we could use any formula we could find online.
Huh.
You know, we basically had a very, instead of learning the textbook, we learned the formulas and then learned where to find them later.
So totally different type of learning. Gee, thank you so much for your call. Let's get another one in here. Jessica's calling from Brookline. Welcome to Radio Boston to you.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I just want to say that I think that the culture of what college stands for has really changed, especially since the 60s. I mean, I know from my parents who were in college then that they really had to strive and they really needed to want to be in college. It was a definite higher education, whereas now I really see it as the extension or the equivalent of what high school used to be.
Hmm. Jessica, let's pick it up there. I'm sorry to cut you off, but let's pick it up there because we just got a couple minutes left. Thank you so much for your call. Hugh Roberts, our Radio Boston intern and 2009 American University graduate. All these thoughts that the callers bring remind me of something that you told us earlier today when we were preparing for this show, that you and a lot of students felt like you didn't even know how to study when you got to college.
That's right. I came from a public high school, which will remain nameless for reasons stated, but I didn't know how to write an essay. I didn't know how to take notes. I knew how to take a test, but I pretty much skated through high school the entire time, got into college, and was screwed, absolutely. Just had no formal training. I sat down with teachers, and they taught me how to write essays, and they taught me how to take notes.
You kind of had to learn how to learn.
Yes.
Mindy Marks, co-author of the study that brought our attention to this, do you feel like there is a way out of this problem, if indeed studying less is a problem today?
Well, it's a tough problem to solve because, as we've sort of been mentioning, like, there's very little incentive on anybody's part to make a class really demanding. Right? So if one individual faculty member decides, okay, I'm going to take a stand and I'm going to make my class really challenging,
mm-hmm.
Right, students will flee. They have this information. They can go online. They can learn who the tough faculty are. So it's almost like the university would have to make a concerted, coordinated effort, you know, on the part of everyone and says, okay, you can make your classes hard and you can fail students if they don't meet the standard and we won't reprimand you and we'll adjust your course evaluations accordingly. And so it's really going to take a coordinated effort. But I think our hope is by just getting this fact out, you know, the fact that students aren't putting in the amount of time that, you know, that we think they're supposed to, that the university says they're supposed to, that individual professors might at least tweak their behavior a little bit. You know, so I know now when I teach, I walk into class and I tell the students, you know, this is the standard, and I know you don't normally meet it, and but I expect you to meet it, you know, for me.
Well, Keith O'Brien, we've just got like 30 seconds left here. I'm sorry to squeeze you in here, but I want to get the last word from you since you're the one who did all the studying on our behalf to get us ready for this. Do you feel like the people you've talked to said there's a way out?
You know, I feel like one thing that a lot of people said is just discussing it is going to help. The thing is a lot of the survey material that the researchers used in this study is not only aware available to the schools, but they're paying for it. Mm-hmm. So schools are aware that this is happening, and just like Hugh, a lot of students are very well aware that they do not know how to study. One study out of California.
I'm sorry about this, but I have to cut you off there because we've just got 10 seconds left. Time's up for the exam, I guess. Keith O'Brien, freelance journalist for the Boston Globe, thank you so much for being with us. Mindy Marks, professor at the University of California, Riverside, thank you as well. Derek Bach, president emeritus at Harvard University, I appreciate your time. And Hugh Roberts, our own Radio Boston intern, thanks for being here.